So I still like to now spend some time with you to talk about building up the local church. And then after that, I'd like to spend a few minutes concerning this upcoming Labor Day conference so that we're all on the same page as far as the burden and also what we're going to do. Amen. Now, but let me say one thing first, and that is, brothers, the saying that any project or any kind of endeavor, any work, how well that work is done or carried out, or that project is executed, depends on the person who is running that project, depends on the person who is doing the work. Watchman Nee, among us, always says that it is not the way that is important, it is the person. So these two, one from the human side, one from the spiritual side, they agree with one another. It really means that is a kind of a truth. That's just how things are. So, brothers, what I want to say is this. In our service as leading brothers, responsible brothers, the main thing is your person. If you are the right person, everything will work. If you're the wrong person, even you have the right method and the correct way, it still won't work. It still won't work. Or if you are the right person and the environment is sort of not so good or imperfect and, you know, something still will happen. But if you're the wrong person, you get the perfect environment, it still won't work. That's how it is. And so, brothers, the moral of the lesson here is we need to work on our person. Now, this is, of course, a huge, big subject with many facets, right? But I would like to, this morning, touch one very, very central thing. And simply that is our natural disposition. You don't know how many churches today, local churches, are suffering or not going on as it should because of the disposition of the leading ones. Now, these are leading brothers who love the Lord, who sees the vision of the recovery, who is one with the ministry, everything. Check, check, check. But there's something deep in their disposition that eventually frustrates the church and the saints from going on. For example, some brothers, they are just inflexible. Inflexible. They are just like this. They are like these wind-up toys, you know. You wind them up, you put them there, they just keep going. Even if they're dropping off the cliff, they keep going. They just wound up and they just go. They're brothers like this. Dear brothers, really dear brothers. But they just don't know how to avoid some obstacle or... And they even are very proud. I don't play politics, you know. I don't play politics. I just walk down the cliff. In the end, that is not about playing politics. It's about being flexible. You know, if you are not a flexible person, you cannot handle human beings. Because every human being is different. And if you are not flexible, you forget about working with human beings. So Brother Lee said his example of being flexible is, he said, we all need to be like paste, huh? You know, ointment. Talk about ointment. We all need to be like ointment. And when I put the ointment on my throat, my Adam's apple here and all that stuff, the ointment just flexes and moves and fits and covers every inch. Am I right?
Yes.
The ointment is not applied by a piece of steel. It's applied by my very flexible hands and so forth. And the ointment just moves and stretches. It totally conforms to the contours of my throat area. And Brother Lee always used that example to say, to deal with people, to help people, and to relate to people. You have to be pasty. In other words, you have to be so enormously flexible. That is not equate to playing politics. Now, there's politics, and we shouldn't do politics. But we should be flexible. And some brothers, they are not only walk down, they don't walk down the cliff, that they're extremely legal. It's a good point about them. They hold fast to principles. You know, they're a very principled person. So principled that nobody wants to be next to him because he's so principled. So that kind of being principled drives people away. Are we going to be unprincipled? No. But you can be principled and yet still be very, very what? Flexible. In the way you implement those principles, in the way you, right, carry out those principles. So, brothers, there are churches that suffer under this kind of leadership. And it's a natural disposition. Another example, and this is a killer. This is a killer. And that is brothers who don't like people. they just don't like people. They like to be alone. So even in the meetings, they sit over there by himself. Front row, mind you. And he will give the announcement too. But he just like to be there, and he loves no one to contact him, and no one talk to him. He's bothered. His eyes are closed. He's I don't know what he's doing. You know, maybe sensing the anointing or something. but by the body language, by the things, you know, you know, I like to tell you my story of, in 1975, we had just migrated to Anaheim with Brother Lee. And Brother Lee immediately had a training, and the training today is in that book called The Practical Ways of Fruit Bearing and Shepherding. What? Huh? Normal Way. That is a fantastic book. And Brother Lee, talk about these things I'm talking about. You better get one and read it. You better get one and read it and let Brother Lee talk to you about it. Okay. So, Brother Lee, talk about these dispositional things. Mainly about us not, have no heart for people. We have no interest in people. We're this and that. And I was very, very pricked because by nature, I'm a kind of an introvert. I love privacy. I like to be a loner, all of this. this. But I also realize, from brotherly speaking, if I stay like this, I'm over. I'm done. I don't care how much Bible I know. I'm through with serving the Lord. And concurrently, at that time, Brother Lee spoke in the love study of Genesis on the subject of Abraham, with a change of name from Abram to Abraham. From the Abram means the exalted father, and Abraham means the father of the multitude. So there needs to be a transformation from a glorified, exalted Abram to a one who can produce multitude. The whole thing is with a view of being able to produce, to bear fruit, and so on and so forth. And that also convicted me very much. It convicted me so much, brothers, that I was brought to a crisis point. I was totally brought to a crisis point. I realized if I don't get through in this matter, pretty much I'm done. I flatline. That's it. And the Lord covers me to share this with you, that one night I was with my wife, and the you know, talk about the anointing. Sometimes the anointing just kind of corners you. You have no way to go right or left because you are on the spot. You know, the spotlight is on you, and you know, clear as a bell, this is what God wants. But there's nothing you can do about it because it's so deep in your disposition. I was struggling, and I still remember I was just weeping. And my wife didn't know what to do. You know, I mean, I usually don't weep, by the way, especially in her presence, right? And I was just weeping and weeping in our bedroom. This is in Huntington Beach. Because I was at a great struggle that I don't know how to get through. On this matter of my caring for people rather than just caring for some work coordination, that I all know how to do. But for people, and the Lord spoke to me, from now on you serve me, it's all about people. If you cannot relate to people, if you don't like people, you forget about it. I was consecrated, the whole works. But this matter, the Lord would not let me go. And so it's not like after that night I suddenly become this great people lover. It's not like that. But I will tell you that it is through that kind of a dealing with the Lord began to crack my kind of natural disposition. But that crack is just the beginning. The Spirit's work is just the beginning. Following that, until today, I have to constantly stand against my natural disposition, which by default is going to go into a cocoon. You know what I mean? Go into a little thing because it's comfortable. It's comfort zone. So when Brother Lee calls some of us, me included, to serve in the Chinese-speaking work, he gave us training again on the same point. He said, brothers, you have to learn to come to the meeting early and stay after the meeting late, like church meetings. So in those days, Brother Lee left and went to Taiwan in 1984, and he turned over his pulpit to me, right? So I'm the pastor, right? I have to give the message. Those were still one-man speaking days, so I have to give the message. But I pushed myself. I pushed myself. So after every meeting, I become the good pastor and go to the door. You know, the pastors give them sermon and go to the door to say goodbye. You know what I mean, with the whole thing. But not literally in, you know, shaking hands, because our saints don't do that. But what I mean by that is after the meeting, after I finished everything, I would always go among the saints, congregation. And Brother Lee said always, don't look for your buddies. They don't need your visit. Look for saints that you don't know. Look for saints that seldom come to the meeting. Look for backslidden ones. Look for some Sunday goers. And I push myself to do that. I just push. It doesn't come natural because I'm not a very sociable person, you know. It doesn't come natural. But I push myself. I push myself. And I believe Brother Lee saw a little bit of that. My point is, brothers, it's a people business we're in. If you don't like people, okay, you have no place to, you have no reason to sit here. You say, I'm a project guy. You know, I love projects. Well, I got projects for you. It's called human beings. Brothers, this seems like, oh my, this is simple. This, of course, think about it. We have elders who actually don't like people. Yeah. No interest. And they think when people come to them, it's a nuisance. It's a pain. We're not talking about just being sociable and, you know, do that. I'm talking about really involved in people's lives, involved in people's hurts, involved in people's joy. I'm talking about not just sociable. I'm talking about engaged and involved and not people with you. They don't feel like they are infringing on your privacy or imposing on you. That way, brothers, if you are like me, you need to stand against your disposition. So Brother Lee spoke a lot, and you go get the book called Character. The last two chapters, not the first chapter. The first two or three chapters on the 30 points, you know, all those 30 points. No, go to the last two chapters. Brother Lee talked about overthrow your disposition. Very violent verb. Overthrow your disposition to contact people. Short chapter, but on point. Brothers, it's all about people. About caring for the saints, loving man. And Brother Nee's book on character likewise, the first chapter or the second is called The Lover of Man. You know, actually that's an English translation. Chinese is Considering Man Lovable. That's the literal translation. Considering Man Lovable. He said, Brother Nee in that book said, I'm not even talking about love the brothers. He said, I'm talking about loving human beings. He said, even we have brothers who love the brothers, love the saints, but they don't have a heart to love all human beings. Yeah, you go read that chapter. So, brothers, I'm citing just these two examples to tell us if we have the best method, we have a God-ordained way, we have everything, but we are the wrong person with this natural disposition hanging on and not rejected, not stood against by us, I tell you, our usefulness is greatly, greatly compromised. You cannot be maximal useful. Your usefulness is always kind of only this much. Some brothers, they don't even smile. Oh, like they don't have, they were made without the smiling muscle or something. They're missing some muscles or something on their face. You say, oh, that's political, you know. I'm being real right now. That's a real me. You know? Okay, you can be real all you want. No one will talk to you. Many things are scared stiff by the leading brothers. Not intentionally, but just they don't know how to warm up things. They don't know how to, you know what I mean? And some even by default very condescending. You understand? They're not approachable. This is the word. But we stress this matter of being the approachability of us.
I know sometimes I come off this way, still, me. Yeah, I do. And it's tough, you know, especially because I speak and people think you're some big brother. And every other saint who comes to me says, Brother Minoru, I know you're busy. They all say that. Well, actually, I'm not that busy. But my point is, I need to exert double effort. I need to exert double effort because of my position or status, whatever you want to call it. You understand what I'm saying? Especially, now he's an elder. He's a new elder. Yesterday, I was buddy-buddy with them. Today, he's an elder. And as an elder, you start to act like an elder or whatever you do. I used to sit in the third row. Now you sit in the front row. Brothers, saints are human beings. A lot of the human nature is very, very real. And so we need to do double or triple work to reach out to the saints, to be approachable to the saints, to not be condescending and not be what? Brotherly, another point. Here's another point, brotherly, talk about disposition. Cold. He even used the word steely. You know, steely? Cold. You know, people touch you, you're just icy. Huh? How about icy? This has nothing to do with spirituality. In fact, I think in some cases, the more spiritual a brother becomes, the more icy they become. Because you're spiritual. I must not show any sign of natural emotion. I must be a pattern of spirituality. So spirituality, you're like an angel, like one of these icons in the Catholic cathedral. No tears, no laughter. You are just this icon. Brothers, I tell you, the saints are human. They are people. They need another person to know their feeling, to empathize, right? The ability to empathize is a key trait of an elder, of a leading brother. Empathize, that means you know their feeling. You weep when they weep, you laugh when they laugh. You know, I don't do much anymore. I still do a few when requested. You know, I do a lot of bearing, do a lot of marrying. You know, one day on the platform, I say publicly to the recovery, no more. This Minoru Chan is no more going to bury anybody or marry anybody. I did that. And I got some flack after that. Yeah, some brothers say, you're wrong. To marry and bury is not to marry and bury. It is your way of shepherding the saints. Amen. Oh, I got some light there. Amen. It's not about marrying. I don't know how many people I marry today. They come to me and say, you marry me. I said, I don't know who you are. I said, I never marry you. They said, no, you marry us. So, I don't know how many people I marry, and I don't know how many people I bury. You know who is the first one I bury? You understand, officiate the gravesite, whatever. The first one is the old brother Chia. Xie Dixiong. Xiang Gang, Xie. Not this TK Chia in Vancouver. That is his brother. This is the older brother. An old elder in Hong Kong. Do you know who I'm talking about? Those from Hong Kong? Okay. And he died soon after I became full-time. And TK Chia was the one representing the family to ask me. Actually, he could have done it. He's much more senior than me. As a worker, as a leading brother. He actually took care of me when I was in junior high in Hong Kong. But he asked me, I don't know. So I never officiate a burial. I don't even know what to do. I was just 33 years old, whatever it is, and I have to go and officiate the burial of this senior elder. So I don't... I don't know what to do. And the most important thing is I don't know how to be. I know I shouldn't laugh because this is... what should I do? How should I be? And then since then I officiate, I don't know how many burials. And the most recent one was with in a little gravesite for Li Daojun, for Brother Li Daojun, to say a word. And before that, do you know this brother, dear brother, Chi in San Diego? Chi, you know, Chi Yap, he died from San Diego. So they asked me, with many saints there, to give a word about the brother. So I've done too many burials and so on. Now, my point is whether you should do it or not do it. My point is, it is the shepherding. The good elders take care of these matters for the care of the saints. And sometimes even some backslidden one died. You say, you're backslidden. You cannot do that, right? But you cannot go there and act up and say some good things about this person, which is really not true. You cannot do that either. Then what do you say? Do you see what I'm saying? Brothers, there needs a lot of human wisdom, a lot of exercise, how to be with the saints in an appropriate way. You don't know, just by that one act, a saint can be recovered. A family can be restored. Or not. So, brothers, I am just rambling a little bit here. But I want to just bring this point up, how to empathize with the saints. You know, maybe in the morning there's a wedding, afternoon is a burial. So you have to be very happy in the morning, and afternoon you have to be sorrowful. You say, that is a show, that is a performance. Well, don't say that. It is about being appropriate, and you have to be in the spirit. But you also have to be very human to take care of the brothers and sisters. And some saints have just they don't know how to do this. They don't know how to do this. And so how can you be a proper leading brother? So, brothers, I mention these things because they are actually very important. Very important. Some church you go to, you touch, the atmosphere is warm. It's just warm. That church is warm. You, believe me, the leading ones are warm. You go to a church that is icy, cold, the leading ones are icy cold. And those leading ones may be very constituted, full of truth. Everything, they open their mouth full of truth, but it's a cold church. Cold church. Icy. Because they are that kind of person. I rather that those brothers not be so constituted. I'd rather that they exude some human feeling and human warmth to care for the saints. You remember in the autobiography of Brother Ni, there's a testimony of Brother Ni joining the little boys to play the marbles. Do you remember that? I tell you, I believe Brother Ni is a very, very human person. Very human person, even with the little kids. So, anyway, brothers. Okay. Well, only 20 minutes left. Okay. All right. I'd like to just mention, this is will take 5-10 minutes. I want to mention, really, four or five areas that I mentioned yesterday, which I also mentioned to you a month ago, concerning how to build up the local church. I mentioned already, the truth, the life, the gospel, build up the children, the young people's work, the campus work, and so on, community. But here is something staring at us, and today, the way to build up the local church must be by the God-ordained way. Amen. Don't take any other your way, or Christianity way. We must take the God-ordained way. So let me just, I'm not going to here talk about God-ordained way, but let me just list out a few things. Brothers, the first thing is that in our leading of a local church, the most important thing is the saints all become spiritually vital. So even these educational, the meetings, everything, you must concentrate on the saints being pneumatized. That means they touch the Lord. They breathe the Lord. They are living. They're not dead. So the vitalization of the saints is the first thing in a local church. In their daily lives, in their meeting lives, there must be the spirit. There must be life. There must be all these things. All right. The calling, the prayer reading, the praying, all these things is to confession of sins, dealing with the conscience. All this is to help the saints all to become vital persons. All right? Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you what to do, okay? Well, how to prioritize things. Don't do the routine things, just routine. Help your church to be vital. Help the saints one by one to be vital. The second thing is what? What was the second thing? Yes. You, in time, I don't mean tomorrow, I don't mean next month, but you have to have a goal. You have to, in a few years' time, you have to build the saints up in these ways. The second thing is you must build up the priesthood of the gospel in your church. That means every saint, ideally, it contacts people for the gospel, for shepherding. It's a people-oriented church. It's a church that reaches out. It is not ingrown. It is not just meeting center. It cares for people. So the best thing is you can build up a percentage of the saints in your church would regularly, preferably weekly, regularly go and contact people. I don't mean necessarily knock on doors. I mean their warm homes. They're new ones, they're BFA contacts, they're backslidden ones, they're just saints. They would just go and just contact people. I think the best time, one of the best time, besides weeknights, is really Lord's Day, the second part of Lord's Day. We lost the second half of the Lord's Day when we stopped practicing the Lord's table in the evening. Ostensibly, for the purpose of freeing up the saints to go contact people. Now, we don't have the Lord's table, and we don't contact people, and that half day of the Lord's Day is lost for our own pleasure and our own use. So, brothers, you have to do something. You have to take the lead, actually. You don't need to go for hours and hours, 2 hours, you know? Take an hour to start with, and take some saints with you. And stir up the saints to do this and build this into a regular thing. If 25% of your church does it, that's very, very good. Right? You may even start with 15%, 10%. Just do this. Just build this up into a church culture. There are too many people waiting for us to contact. And we should get rid of this wrong and devilish idea that people are resistant to us and people think we're a cult. Let me tell you, people don't even know we exist. Forget about cult. If I show them the recovery version, they will go online and check. Forget about that. All this kind of fear and presumption that keeps us from just freely, boldly contacting people. Actually, today, many people are just ready to be touched, Amen. Be contacted. That's all. We need to do that. Number two, that's number two. weekly, 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 rain or shine. The third thing is, brothers, we must, in time, and I'm going to speak more about it, build up the home groups, the groups, the small groups, dash or slash the home meetings. These are related, but they're not one and the same. Okay? This is the building block of the church. Some small church, you have even your whole church come together, it's like a home meeting. Yeah. But many churches are larger than that. Don't just build up, brotherly, say, a facade of a church and just do head count on Sunday. No, build up the home meetings. Eventually, in a healthy church, the number of people in your home meeting should exceed substantially your Lord's Day number, if it's a healthy church. But I find today many local churches is exactly the opposite. A lot of people come on Sunday, home meetings, very few people. That's totally wrong. Totally wrong. That means you have never built up the infrastructure of this church. We have to build up a home-based church life. Small groups meeting in the homes. Okay, there's a lot to talk about. I want to just identify these things to build up your church. The fourth thing, am I right? Fourth thing?
Yes.
Build up this family education that we talk about in the first session. Build this matter up. Okay, build this matter up. And I don't speak more about it. This regular family training. Finally, build up the meetings of the church. The Lord's table, the prayer, the prophesying time. You have to keep building that up. Those big meetings of the church is a display or an exhibition of our daily life. The meeting life is an exhibition of our daily life. So you have to help the saints, right? And we labor in the week and we, so to speak, bring our produce to the meetings to display Christ. All these things, we have to build up a very rich Lord's table, an attractive Lord's table. You know, prophesying meeting that will cause people to fall down and say, God is indeed among you. Not just some talking and just no impact, you know. The impact, the richness, and the attraction of our meeting needs to be built up. Today, a lot of our church life are weak. Even when you come to your own meeting, you are not attracted. Forget about new ones. You know, people today, when they touch us, they even may not be impressed by our truth. But they will be affected by our vitality. Vitality is very, very attractive. But we're not vital. We're not rich. We're not that living. So the livingness, the attraction of the impact of our and the richness of our meeting, we need to keep building those up. So, brothers, I said all of this. There's one more thing underlying all of this, and I don't have the time to get into. You see, building up a church is not simple. You know, you think do your startup is harder? No. Building the church is harder than doing a startup. One last thing I want to say is underlying all of this, we must take the Lord's words to really, really build up the twos and threes as a way to execute these things. This twos and threes touches all these areas that I talk about. I'll wait another time to get into these things, but I feel I need to lay these things before you, brothers. How about this, brothers? Amen. Let us all agree this by the end of this year, 2018, is the fifth year of our endeavor. We started our elders training in 2015. 5, 6, 7. No.
14.
No, no, no. The training starts at 15. But our current endeavor starts in 14. There we go. There we go. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So by this December, I would have been up here officially for 5 years. So I'm going to review my work. You're going to evaluate your work. And I like to suggest that by the end of this year, phase one is officially over. Let's move on to phase two.
Amen.
The Lord did a lot of things and granted us a lot of blessing, even beyond what we asked or thought. But let's move on to phase two.
Amen.
Phase two is to build up the churches.
Amen.
Let's start with the next 5 years.
Amen.
Until 2022. Am I right?
Amen.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Let's build up the local churches in Northern California.
Amen.
All into lively,
Amen.
Rich, attractive, right? Full of life and truth, full of the gospel. Local churches throughout this area. The next 5 years. We also concurrently will start to build up the works in Northern California, the campus work, the young people's work, and everything. We will have a strong enhancement in all these things. Okay, I hope this is good. Yeah, now I'm going to, that's why I have the last few minutes. So, now the Labor Day. This Labor Day, I shared with you last time, by arrangement, I won't be here. But I'm just me. We have many brothers here. And to follow Brother Lee's leading back in 93, we want to really also develop the blended speaking, which can be very, very rich. So we have four messages, and I don't have the time. I only will read you the very, very tantalizing, appetizing title, and I will just read that to you. Because I don't want the word to get out, and by the time we have the conference, everyone knows what it's all about. That's no good. Okay. The general subject of this coming conference is proclaiming the Jubilee. Following this last summer training. Message one, the age of Jubilee and an illustration of the Jubilee. Of course, the age of Jubilee is this age of grace unto the millennium. And the illustration of Jubilee is that wonderful, wonderful parable in Luke 15. Of the prodigal son. Very, very rich. Just sweet, sweet to my taste. Two, the blessings of the Jubilee. Message two, return to our possession and free from slavery. Oh, my goodness. This is like, maybe we should bring some trumpets to the meeting and really blow this thing. Message three, the living of the Jubilee.
Amen.
Jubilee is not just a festival. It's a living. And the enjoyment of Christ as the Jubilee.
Amen.
Number four, proclaiming the gospel for the propagation of Christ as the Jubilee.
Amen.
These things are all here. Wonderful. So wonderful that I'm going to take message four as my message five in Chicago. I'll be in Chicago for the Labor Day weekend. I'm going to use message four as my message five because we have five messages over there. Now, we're going to have eight brothers in a pair of two to cover each of this message as the main speakers. All right? Four, eight brothers, pairs of two. A more senior brother and a younger brother. Okay. Then we will have, I'd like to see all of you, as much as possible, give a confirming word of testimony at least once. Now, I'm a little scared that if we do this, the sisters will all stay back because we all fill up. But I don't think all of you will go up there at the end of the day. So there should be still room. All right? Some brothers, I already told them they must go up. In fact, they have to sign up. But to most of you, no need for that. You just plan to go up. And brothers, let me tell you, the confirming word is almost as important as the message itself. The message set up the nail, the confirming testimony drives us in. So, 1 minute, you know, or whatever the arrangement would be, brothers, put your shoulder to this conference. Let's make it a success. The brothers told me that all the rooms are already gone. It never happened in the Bay Area. In 3 days. 5 days. The moment that the thing is opened up, in 3 days, all the rooms are gone. And now, if you want to get a room by yourself, it's $500 a night. Over $500 a night. $539. I'm very, very happy. In fact, secretly, I wish maybe I should be here. Not to speak, but to witness the Lord's blessing. So, okay? And we in Chicago will be echoing you with the same kind of a burden. All right, brothers, I think this is good enough for me. The brothers may have still some word concerning the hotel and all of this. But let me leave you with one final word. On Lord's Day, the last meeting, 9:30 is the table, 10 o'clock is the message. We'll finish by 11:30. We still have half an hour. We want to use that half an hour to fellowship with the saints concerning the Lord's present move. One of that present move, again, has to do with this work fund that we've been promoting. So we will speak about this. And I told the brothers that I'm designing some piggy banks, some wonderful piggy banks made out of cardboard that you fold up yourself, like, you know, when you go to Chick-fil-A, the kids fold up something. Okay, they fold up a box, and everyone will get one. Whether you're an elder, you're a junior higher, everyone gets one. And you put it in your nightstand. And every saint from junior high up will put in $5. You know, junior high have five extra dollars. Yes, you have junior high kids. Do they have an extra $5 per week?
Yes.
Huh? Come on, do they? No junior high children here? They do, huh? Oh, okay, all right. Okay, so the grandpa puts in $5, the dad puts in $5, and the junior high puts in $5. Everyone does it. Listen, we have 3,000 saints, roughly, that come to our meetings once a month on Lord's Day. Minimal, huh? 3,000. $5 a week is $20 a month and is $240 a year. And that is no pain whatsoever. No skin of anybody's nose. $5. You don't even feel it. You don't feel it. I told people my tea latte at Starbucks is $5.45. So I just miss one tea latte, make my own. It's okay. Okay, $5. 240 times 3,000. Do the math. Well, let's round it up. 250. Okay. 250 times 3,000. Someone just do the math. Come on. $750,000 with no pain. We don't even feel a thing. In fact, you may get healthier not drinking that whatever. So, brothers, this is on top of our regular giving of 10% to the church and 5% to the Lord's move. This is extra for the fund. If we would do this, and the young people can put coins in, you can put quarters in, whatever way you do it, brothers. And in every church, we have special envelopes for the saints to put their thing in monthly or whatever it is. Brothers, it's so doable. So doable. How about that?
Amen.
Okay. So I just say this much. Do you have any words?